Hi, and welcome to part two of Murder at Avedon Hill's first listener feedback show. Once again, I've got the video chat room up at Stick'em, and I'm waiting for a couple people to show up. They may show up while I'm recording, or maybe not. We have a few more emails and voicemails to go through, and I'm going to jump right into it. And I think I'll start today with playing a voicemail from Scott Roach, who also interviewed me for a great site called Hollywood Jesus. If you go to Hollywood Jesus and click on books, and if you can't find the article there, there's an alphabetical listing of books, and you can find Murder at Avedon Hill on that list and find the interview there. But here is the voicemail that Scott left, I think, back in May or so.
Hi, PG. This is Scott, a.k.a. Spiritual Tramp on Twitter, and author of the podcast novel Archangel, which can be found on www.spiritualtramp.com. I've just started listening to Avedon Hill, and I'm really enjoying it. I love the fantasy world you've created, and putting a murder mystery into the middle of it really makes it stand out. I'm only on episode 5 now, so I've got a ways to go before I catch up, but I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, and have a great day.
Thanks, Scott, and you did a great job plugging your own podcast, and want everybody to go over to Scott's website and check out Archangel. It's a good listen, and I recommend it. Next, I want to go ahead and read an email from Martin. Martin is a local Charlottean. Don't know if he's a native Charlottean from Charlotte, North Carolina, because as I've found after living here for 7 years, not too many people that live in Charlotte are actually from Charlotte. It's a big financial city, and people come down here from New York and all across the country to live here. So this is from Martin. Dear PG, I just purchased your book. I work for the public library here in Charlotte, and I really love your podcast. I just purchased a copy of the book, and will ask our head of collections development if she would be interested in purchasing the book for the library. It may be difficult to convince them to buy it because we can't purchase it through a major vendor like Amazon.com, but I love the book, and I think we should have it. Keep up the good work, and I can't wait to get the book to see how the story ends. That was a great email to get, and I worked with Martin. He took his copy of the book and showed it to the collections development head, and they took a pass on it for right now. But once we get the book over to Amazon.com and the distribution channels there, I'm going to try again, because that would be great to be able to go to the public library and see it there. I can do a donation, and I will do that to donate a book to the library, but it would be cool to see it in all the Charlotte libraries. Next, I'm going to go ahead and play a voicemail from Jody.
Hey, PG, this is Jody Nelson in hot and steamy Southeast Georgia. I want you to know that listening to this podcast is like working out in my yard, and it's really hot, and I can't get enough to drink. I can't quench my thirst. That is exactly what this is like. I love this storyline. I like the way you read it. I like the way you put it together. I love the voice inflections you put in it, and I just can't get enough. It leaves me thirsty for more each and every time. Keep up the good work, and dang it, this is good stuff. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you, Jody. That was a great voicemail. I remember when I got that, and I think I went right back in the studio and did a chapter, because it inspired me so much, and I really appreciate it. And I'm going down to your section of the of Georgia, or not south, but I'm going to Atlanta anyway. So I will be in Georgia at the end of the month for Dragon Con, and I don't know if you go, but if you do, please stop by and say hi.
Mr. Holyfield, this is Dave from Southern California. One request: quit twittering so much. Get to writing. I got to find out what happened to Aaron and all the others. I'm thinking it's too simple, this Lord Avedon's son doing all this. I'm thinking more it's Father Joris, and he's a little nuts. You know, plus, it's played by Tim Morrison. Maybe he stole his own jersey. Thank you very much. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Yes, Dave, he probably did steal his own jersey. That was after BaltCon, where poor T had his Kraken's jersey stolen by someone, and All in good fun, I hope, because whoever has done it has been putting tea through the ringer, sending him on scavenger hunts and eating at certain restaurants, food that he doesn't like, just to try to get his Kraken jersey back. And I love the character of Father Joris. He's doing a great job with him, and we'll see more of him later on. The other thing about Dave's voicemail is, you know, you've got, you know, Jody, who's very nice and saying all those wonderful things, inspiring me. And then we've got Dave, who pretty much says, get the hell off of Twitter and get back into the studio. So, you know, sometimes you need that tough love, and thanks, Dave, for that. Next, we have another Dave, Dave Martin.
Hey, PG. Dave Martin, also known as Writer DM. I sent you a comment after a recent episode where your cliffhanger is pretty good. And I just wanted to let you know that I am loving the book. Again, as I said in my written comment, I listen to a huge amount of podcasts, audio fiction of all sorts, ranging from a straight audio read up to full cast theatrical productions. And I absolutely am loving your book. I typically am not a fan of mysteries. I do sci-fi, certainly do fantasy. But you have hooked me on a mystery. So several firsts there. Anyways, keep up the good work. Loving the book, and looking forward to future episodes. Have a great night.
Thank you, Dave. I'm glad that you're looking past your disinterest in mysteries to give this a listen. And I am a fan of mysteries, not traditional mysteries as far as, you know, Agatha Christie and that sort of thing, but I really do like the medieval murder mysteries that I've read, and, you know, I like noir fiction, and I'm still trying to figure out if I can somehow put Aramis in a large city in Cairn, of which there are several, and somehow make it more noirish, but in a fantasy setting, sort of the juxtaposition of Bilbo Baddings, where you have a dwarf in Chicago, but do something where you get that sort of feel, but in a fantasy world. But I haven't been able to figure that one out yet. We'll see if that happens in the future. Next, we have an old, probably my oldest fan, and you'll hear why right here.
Hello there, Mr. Holyfield. Jeremy Jinkerson. I've been following your work since the original post on The Neverwinter Vault, and I wrote your very first reviews on Rogue Kim and Seeker. I wanted to let you know that your style got me interested in mystery as a genre and got me excited about fantasy again, and that your work is just, it's just simply fantastic, and I'm desperately looking forward to your next novel. Well done, sir. Keep it up.
Yes, Jeremy has been following my work on Murder at Avedon Hill ever since 2003, when I started posting chapters of it, when I was basically writing a chapter and releasing it over at the Neverwinter Vault website, maybe 2004 actually. But Jeremy's been a great supporter, and I hope he gets to hear this, because a big shout out to him, because he's one of the first people that gave me some confidence to try to do this and to eventually come to the decision to podcast it. So thank you, Jeremy. Let's see. Next thing I wanted to do was read an email from Ice Pick. What a great name. This is from July 13th to be exact. I wrote a short story that Matthew Wayne Selznick read on his webathon. It was a short story called Every Breath You Take, and it was set in the universe where Brave Men Run is set, the Sovereign Era universe, and it was well received. But Icepick was someone who actually wrote me an email about it, and that really touched me. So here you go, Icepick. PG, I just wanted to drop you a note and let you know how much I enjoyed your Sovereign story today. While there were other really good stories, I thought Hutch's was excellent as well. Yes, it was. I thought yours was probably the most true to the feel of Brave Men Run and the kind of personal story that Matt tried to tell. Thanks, Icepick. And that meant a lot to me, because that was something I really concentrated on, because I really love Brave Men Run. And that being set in 1985, you know, Breakfast Club type atmosphere of high school really was in my wheelhouse. That was when I was graduated from high school, and I found it very easy to write that story. So easy, in fact, that I wrote 9,000 words when he was looking for 2,000 to 3,000 words. But he cut it down, and he read it, even though it was three times as long as he really wanted. He read it, and it was a lot of fun. So, and thank you, Icepick, for that email. Next, I want to play a voicemail from one of my repeat voicemail people, Onion Girl.
Hey, PG, this is Onion Girl. Just leave a message on the camera line to say Murder at Avedon Hill is still one of my favorite podcasts. I love the way the story is developing so far, and no matter how much I might whine about the time between new episodes, I gotta say, the consistent quality of story and production makes it worth the wait. A couple of weeks ago, I started again from the beginning and have now listened through episode 24, You've Got the Gift Man. But I think I speak for everyone when I say cliffhangers are evil. Seriously, no. Keep the episodes coming. Number 25 is in the queue. Bye.
Yes, that seems to be a trend in the voicemails here, as cliffhangering. J.C. Hutchins certainly pushed that to the limit in some of his chapters of Seventh Son, and you're probably going to be a little pissed at me later on in the novel when I start getting into some of the more obvious cliffhangers between chapters. There's two or three that I hope will generate some voicemails, actually, because they should piss some people off. But we'll get to that soon enough. Next one I wanted to do is, I've got, back in May I did a video chat on Uvu and recorded it, and James Keeling was there along with Treed, Thomas Reed, who is in the Stick'em chat along with Selgenor and Spiritual Tramp, Scott Roche. And James asked some questions, and I answered the questions there, but that audio may not see the light of day, or, you know, maybe whenever I get to actually working on that will be when people actually get to hear that. So I wanted to go ahead and play the questions here and go ahead and do some short answers for them as well, so that we can get a little more content into the show. So here is James Keeling with questions from the Uvu chat back in May.
I guess the first question I kind of have, and this is something which I've been interested in, is how important to a podcaster is the fan base? I podcast no matter what happens, but, you know, if you look at like a major podcaster, be it Hutchins or Sigler, you know, if you have 30,000 people listening to your podcast, I suppose that really almost becomes a driving force. But when you're just starting out, if you have a smaller fan base, does that affect you in the same way?
Yeah, I mean, the fan base for Murder at Avedon Hill has been vocal. They have supported me just wonderfully ever since the beginning. Even when I took a month off to move, some people left, but a lot of people came back and they wrote me emails saying they understood what was, you know, that real life does take precedent over what I'm doing here. When you're dealing with, you know, smaller numbers and trying to cultivate a following, you know, of listeners that you know, want to come back and listen to more, you know, I try to do everything that I can as far as answering emails and providing that interaction that, you know, builds relationship between me and the audience, hopefully. But the main thing that the fans give me is the, you know, the impetus to get back in the studio, because I do feel that if I don't get my episodes out after a certain time frame, then I'm letting people down. I feel that, and it does affect me, and that's why, you know, at the end of the last episode, at the beginning of the last episode, episode 28, I, you know, made the announcement that once I get back from Dragon Con, we will be going to the weekly schedule. My kids will be in school. I will be able to have more time during the day to do editing and such. And really going to be pushing, because I want to get to the climax of the novel. It's not the last chapter. It's like the third to the last chapter. But the, you know, the big reveal and the big battle, all that good stuff, will be Halloween night. So I need to do the weekly schedule to meet that. So that is what we're going for. And, you know, wish me luck.
sitting. So who was the first person to actually recommend that you podcast the novel online?
Nobody really recommended podcasting it, but once I heard Brave Men Run by Matthew Wayne Selznick, I knew that I was going to podcast this. I had been, once I got an iPod back in 2006, and I started listening to T. Morris, to Merle Lafferty's I Should Be Writing, to, you know, some of the other podcasts, where it became obvious, you know, Scott Sigler, became obvious that podcasting can be a way to introduce your fiction or introduce yourself in any capacity to people that are interested in the same things that you are. And otherwise, my novel would just be sitting in a drawer or on a hard drive, and, you know, I would have sent it out to a few people, and then, you know, that would have been that. So being able to do this and having, I think, around getting to the point where about 6,500 people have at least tried the first two or three chapters, and, you know, still 2,000 to 3,000 are downloading the later chapters, you know, in the first 2 weeks. So being able to do that and get my fiction out to that many people, it was a great choice, I think, and we'll go from here.
So in all your travels, have you actually had, for lack of a better term, I suppose I'd probably call it a Gollum moment, have you had, I'm sure Sigler and, all the big dogs, I'm sure they come up with it all the time, where people come up to them, oh, you're so-and-so, oh, pretty, pretty, precious, precious. Have you actually been able to experience that yet?
Well, from the other side, I did that. I went to Dragon Con in 2006, and the first thing I see when I walk into the hotel where the podcasting track is J.C. Hutchins and Scott Sigler sitting at a table drinking coffee, just talking to each other. And, you know, they had just met a few minutes before that, actually. And I go up to him and I introduce myself, and J.C., being the wonderful guy that he is, you know, recognized my name from emails. I had actually set up to interview him at that convention. And he jumped up and he introduced me to Scott, even though I'd, you know, written him emails, and, you know, he sort of responded, but you know how Scott is. And, you know, so I had my moment on that side where I'm just like, oh, Patrick, oh gosh, I'm so glad to meet you. And, you know, everything went from there. And that's the great thing about the podcast community, is that everybody, I haven't met anybody that, you know, wouldn't do that for you if, you know, because that's one of the reasons that we're doing this, is that, you know, that interaction and just being able to meet each other and, you know, like on Twitter, we got the tribe and everybody wants to help each other and to succeed in any way that we can. From the other side, not so much. And I probably wouldn't know what to do too much if it did happen. I have, when I went to Dragon Con last year in 2007, Paul Herring, PC Herring, came up to me, and he just was, you know, I already knew him from winging it, as far as he sent in submissions before that, so I knew who he was. And he was like, oh, I'm listening to the podcast, and I'm loving it. And I only had like 4 or 5 episodes by that point when I went to Dragon Con last year, so you know, that was the first time someone came up to me and said that. So that was a fun experience, and I enjoyed every time it happens. This last voicemail I want to play is actually one of those times where I was affected by someone that has been listening to the podcast, and that is when I saw Jet at Balticon, and this is what she left me.
Hey PG, this is Jet, and I hear you're doing a listener appreciation show, so I thought I'd send in something nice for you. I got to play Allie Moore in episode 11, and I was absolutely thrilled at the chance to be part of this amazing production. It was my very first chance to be a voiceover artist, and ever since then I've really enjoyed doing that, and I've gotten a lot more opportunities, and I've been able to gain the confidence to put myself out there and try out and see what happens, and I'm really, really appreciative for you giving me that first chance to break through my comfort zone and into a really nice place. So thank you for Murder at Avedon Hill, and I look forward to many, many more episodes and an amazing story. Thanks, bye!
And thank you, Jet, because that meant a lot to me when you came up to me at Balticon and pretty much told me that same thing. It was really heartfelt, and I really appreciated it. Thank you. So that was the voicemails that I have received on the Cairn line, and I would love it if for the next listener appreciation or listener feedback show, I can play one of your voicemails. So please give me a call at 704-315-5884 and leave a message or a question, and I will get to it. I am hoping, actually the plan is, to play voicemails at the end of each episode now. So I will be, so unless I get a lot, which I don't foresee getting more than two or three between episodes, but if I do, then I'll have a separate show for listener feedback. But I think I'll handle it like Pip did for Chasing the Bard, playing the voicemails at the end of each episode. So if you would like to hear yourself or you would like to leave me a comment, I would certainly love it. Thank you very much for listening. And episode 29 will be released before I leave for the beach. Not quite sure if it will be Friday or Saturday before it gets out, but it will be out before I leave. So look forward to that, and I will talk to you later. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Murder at Avedon Hill, a podcast novel written and produced by P.G. Holyfield. Please visit pgholyfield.com for more information on this novel and the author. Most of the music in this podcast generously provided by Shira Common through Magnatune.com. Magnatune.com, they are not evil. Additional music generously provided by Kevin MacLeod through his website at incompetech.com. Be sure to check out Murder at Avedon Hill at podiobooks.com. And if you are so inclined, please post a review at iTunes, at Podcast Pickle, or at podiobooks.com. Audio comments about the podcast can be left on the Cairn line at 704-315-5884. Or go to pgholyfield.com and click on the Call Me button to leave comments. This podcast is copyright 2007-2008 by P.G. Holyfield and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works 3.0 U.S. license.